If you've ever felt stuck in your W-2 job, felt uncertain about the future of your W-2 job, or uncertain about your retirement plan, this episode is for you. This is Rick Abbiati joins us. We really go in depth on how he was able to transition out of his 30 plus year career as a defense contractor and move into real estate investing. Rick is now a real estate coach and an active investor, and it was not always easy. We focus on the struggle quite a bit and his persistence and how he kept going when others would have given up, and then how his very first payday was a $90,000 deal, actually over $100,000, but that first check of $90,000. And just a lot about in this episode about defining your why, and maybe redefining your why, and after you make mindset shifts and get rid of limiting beliefs, how to build confidence. This episode is very relatable for anyone who is maybe an engineer and you're not that hustler sales type. You're a hard worker, but you're not out there, taking action, making things happen. Well, Rick really speaks to the importance of coaching and accountability, and there's some real key nuggets at the very end of the episode you're going to want to stick around for. One thing to point out is we at Labrador Lending, we have our mentorship program, very much like the coaching program that Rick talks about. We've got one-on-one mentorship. If you want to take the next step as a mortgage note investor, or if you just want to understand what mortgage note investing is and how that might fit into a real estate investing broader strategy or approach, I highly recommend you check out labradorlending.com and go to our mentorship page, or email me at batemanjames@labradorlending.com. Enjoy the episode.
From adversity to abundance, hosted by entrepreneur and seasoned real estate investor Jamie Bateman, is the ultimate guide for active and passive investors seeking clarity, mental fitness, and the confidence to make inspired decisions in the world of real estate. With a decade plus of investing experience across various niches and a background as a combat veteran, former Army officer, and multi-million dollar mortgage note company owner, Jamie brings a wealth of knowledge and inspiring stories to each episode. Through weekly episodes featuring insightful interviews with industry leaders and solo explorations of mindset and strategy, listeners will uncover actionable advice and tips to overcome challenges and build lasting financial success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, From Adversity to Abundance is your roadmap to turning obstacles into opportunities and achieving financial freedom.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and I'm thrilled today to have with us Rick Abbiati. Rick, how are you doing today?
Fantastic, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I think this is going to be a very relatable episode, especially for people who may be working a W-2 and may not want to work that W-2 for too much longer, or may not really see a retirement in sight. And I know you have a relatable story where you were able to leave your W-2, and now, as a real estate investor and a coach, a real estate coach, you've got a lot more time freedom and abundance that you're living in. Rick, for the listener who may not be familiar with you, who are you and what are you up to today?
So right now, currently, since I left my W-2, I'm a full-time coach with Smart Real Estate Coach, otherwise known as Wicked Smart. And so I coach other investors across the country how to invest in real estate and help them through there to get to achieve their goals and help them define their why and why they're doing it, and work with them on mindset, skill set, and systems. And then I also invest myself.
Love that. And we're going to hit on those key points a little bit more. Those are critical: mindset and understanding your why, and really giving thought to your experience and your goals and where you've been and where you want to go is critical before you just jump in as a real estate investor, because there's so many niches in this space, so many different ways to make money in real estate investing. And so I'm excited to dive in and focus on how we can help the listener reach their goals. But before we get there, let's get a little inspiration from your story, Rick. Take us back. You are a U.S. Navy veteran, and then I think you worked in the defense industry for, I know you did, for over 30 years. Let's talk about that. How did that go for you?
So it was, as you just mentioned, former Navy. I was a submariner for 6 years. I got out and went to work for a major defense contractor as a systems or field engineer, traveling a lot. And over time, I progressed through different positions. And the thing with the defense industry is if there are defense cuts, your job was at risk. Now, fortunately, I came close to losing my job once and being laid off, but I never did. And that was very fortunate for me. And I was much younger.
Gotcha.
Our contracts generally were 3 to 5 years in length. And every time a contract was renewed, you were subject to either losing your job or going over to another defense contractor.
I worked as a civilian with the Department of Defense for 14 years, and so I've worked with a lot of different contractors and relatively speaking, I'll say it seemed as though the good ones at least had a pretty decent job security, compared to some of the other industries out there in the private sector, right? But compared to the civilians, not so much. And there's always that element of, yeah, you could be let go any month or any year, or just having to reset and scramble. So there's some uncertainty there as far as the stability of your paycheck and the consistency and the future of your income. So, walk us through. We're not going to go through every day of your long career and the ups and downs of all that, but what were some of the adversity, or maybe from the mindset standpoint, what were you facing when you're back as a defense contractor, but looking forward?
Well, as I mentioned, I started as a field or systems engineer, and I did software engineering for a while, and I was a hardware worked with hardware and systems as a whole. So I was very marketable anyway. I had a lot of knowledge in a lot of different areas of engineering. In the late 90s, I transitioned more towards management. So I became a lead and then a project manager up until the I'd say 2016, 2017, up to director of engineering for a company. So I had about 180 people that reported to me and my project leads. And then what happened was we ended up losing a major contract because the time was up. So when it was recompeted, the way the government competes these things, a lot of
Lowest
time
bidder.
it's lowest price technically acceptable. Lowest bidder. And another company won the contract, and therefore there went my director of engineering position. So I was brought on as a lead, basically a project manager. Which was fine, I was okay with that.
So, sometimes we get fairly specific on this show, depending on how vulnerable you want to be. Was that a pay cut for you, or how did that work from a personal standpoint?
No, it wasn't a pay cut because as a director of engineering, I was director of engineering for a subcontractor. So obviously, being a subcontractor, the pay wasn't as much as being with a prime contractor. So it was actually, I think it was a pay increase, slight pay increase.
Okay, so you got paid a little bit more and had less responsibility. That sounds pretty good. Okay, so, overall, it sounds like you had a lengthy career as a, with your W-2. Walk us through your, like I said, looking when you're looking forward into retirement, what were you thinking about as you were in your later years as a W-2 employee with the contractor?
Working at a grocery store.
Oh yeah, that's what you thought your retirement would look like?
That's, when I get in, when you get into your 70s, I'm in my mid 60s now. Getting into your 70s, you don't know if you're going to be around for another, as far as being employed. And, today, a lot of seniors end up working at a grocery store, and that's all I can visualize, is bagging groceries. And the retirement, I was not wise in my retirement savings, so it was a really a question. That was my why, which ultimately I learned wasn't my true why, as we both know. On the surface, it's leave my W-2 and have retirement, but
It's
I learned very quickly how to develop your why.
okay. We're definitely going to dive into that, but and that's an interesting point, how your why can change and really grow and maybe take on even more meaning over time, maybe once you've reached your initial why. Which it sounds like in your case was self-focused, I mean, and probably family focused, which is normal. That's what we'd expect for anyone to be concerned about initially, right? But it sounds like I think it grew and is now a little bit more service focused, I'm guessing. But before we get there, you worked, you got playing critic here or cynic, or I thought if you work for the government, you have all these amazing benefits and the retirement is just incredible and it's a cushy job and you don't really have to worry about retirement. Is that not true?
Well, that's government employees. Being a defense contractor, you don't get those benefits. So,
Gotcha.
every time a contract changed and you went over to a different company, whoever was awarded that contract, your benefits changed. A lot of times they weren't a whole lot different, but as far as tenure, with government, you can work all those years and you end up with retirement.
So, and in your case, there is no annuity from that job, right? It's just a 401k or similar type retirement plan, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, you're into the later years in your W-2. Let's say 5 years from when you left your W-2. What are you thinking? What are your next steps?
Well, I knew real estate was the path to go. I know when I was in my probably around two, actually 1991, I had bought a home and totally renovated it myself. And of course, working at W-2 and renovating it, it's nights and weekends.
Yeah, that's tough. Th this is a was it a it was an investment property. It wasn't your primary residence, right?
No, it was my primary residence. Yep. So it wasn't really for the profit, it was to have a nicer home.
Got it. Well, it's still a very good experience and hands-on experience. Okay,
And
so
then
did you have a
I did.
family at this point, or?
I had a wife at the time.
Gotcha. All right, just trying to put ourselves in your shoes and see how what things were like. So you're working a lot for your W-2 and then working around the clock on this rehab. Okay, and then walk us through, say, the next few years.
So in 2020, we bought another home, which was a spec home, and I decided to do a major renovation on it. Put on two additions, actually three additions on it.
So spec
I
home is a
actually,
brand new home, right? It's a new home that's not built for a particular buyer, right?
it's they build a bunch of them the same.
But it's a new brand new home, and then you added on to it right away.
It's I removed some walls to make some of the rooms bigger. And then blew out the back of the house and made it a custom kitchen, very expensive custom, almost commercial grade kitchen, a couple extra rooms, bigger living room. So that was a 15-year project.
Wait, and what year was this that it started?
2000.
2000. Okay. Wow, 15-year project. Gotcha. Okay. So how did you, when did you leave your W-2? You know, what did that transition look like?
So, well, to back up a little bit,
Yeah.
so renovated a couple of houses. I thought, well, the real estate is really where the money is. I
Yeah.
knew, and I figured, okay, I'm going to flip properties and do that as a vehicle for retirement until I quickly realized, well, that's not wise because working a W-2, I'm going to put myself 6 feet under doing that.
Yeah. I mean, there are many
So,
downsides to flipping. Well, one, I don't consider it investing, but it's very active, you know, from a time and energy standpoint. If you're working a W-2 and you're getting a little bit older, that's pretty challenging. And then from a tax standpoint, it's not very tax efficient.
right.
And we could go into more in depth on all that. But okay, so flipping was your initial concept. And it can be good to make a lump sum to put to work.
So I also looked at, okay, well, the next thing from flipping would be wholesaling.
Yeah.
With 2016, I set up an LLC, decided to wholesale. I invested in other coaching programs, which where they tell you what to do, and then
Yeah.
it was up to you to go do it
Gotcha. Yeah.
without really the support system behind it.
Right.
And really, when you're wholesaling, you're a lot of times you're lowballing, and it's very, very competitive.
Sure.
And I didn't get much success at all at
Gotcha.
wholesaling. You know, for a $5,000 or $10,000 check, it was just another job.
Right. And I don't know. And I know a lot of engineers come over to real estate, and I love that real estate investing can attract a lot of different people from v many different backgrounds, finance, real estate, or, sorry, finance, engineering, lending and all sorts of backgrounds. I wouldn't guess that the typical engineer is necessarily great at hustling and sales. Do you think that's part of what the issue was?
That was probably a good portion of it, as I learned a few years later in what I'm doing now.
Gotcha. Okay, so you thought about flipping, didn't really, and then you pivoted to wholesaling through your LLC, but didn't have a lot of success doing that. You paid for a coaching program, didn't get a lot of continuous support through that program. Now what's going through your mind at that point?
So, having set up my LLC, I had done it through Anderson Business Advisors. And Chris Prefontaine and his son-in-law, Zach, were doing a webinar that was Smart Real Estate Coach. And it looked pretty good to me. It was, you know, less active, you know, as far as the effort,
Yeah.
which it's a different type of effort.
Okay.
And very hands-on in the trenches with us.
Yeah, the
So I
coaches are
think,
more hands-on than what you'd experienced before. So
right.
the person learning, the real estate investor, can be a little less hands-on, is what you're saying, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you still got to be hands-on, but you have
Sure.
more guidance.
More guidance. Okay. Got it. And for the listener, we had Chris on the show a little while back, so we'll link to that episode in the show notes. Okay, so you joined that Smart Real Estate Coach, Wicked Smart community, and what happened? Well, you didn't. I guess you didn't say that you did a webinar, and then it looked enticing, but we all know you joined it. And so, what happened after that?
So they have different levels that you could come in at.
Okay.
So having spent a good amount of money in other coaching programs, of course, and being an engineer, I was apprehensive.
Sure. Yeah.
So I started at the lowest level, cheapest level,
Right.
and at the time they called it 90-day jump start. So you got insight. It wasn't such one-on-one coaching, but it was more group coaching.
Okay.
So I wanted to dip my feet in the water.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I did that, and within 45 days, I saw all the success that people were achieving and how hands-on the coaches were. And then I upgraded to the next level, which included one-on-one coaching. So it was more personalized.
And so this was real success that you were seeing from other people in the group.
Right.
Gotcha.
Now, I did progress through two other levels above that about every 6 months
Okay.
because the benefits were a little bit different. And Chris and I had been doing that for about, 12, actually probably about 13 months, 14 months. And I hadn't had a deal yet.
Okay.
But my why was strong enough that it got me through where most people would have quit.
Okay. And that's a really key point there, because it's very easy to give up, and it's also not always easy to know when to give up, because some people are the other extreme where they're a little too stubborn, but most people would have quit before you did. So to be clear, you were still working your W-2 at this time?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Working your W-2 in this coaching program for a year and a half or so, something like that. And then once you started, how did you start to see success in the program?
So I got a call directly from Chris, and I happened to be on vacation.
Okay.
My phone rings and it says Chris Prefontaine. I'm thinking, why is Chris calling me? And he said, Rick, I've talked to the other coaches and they said, you've been extremely coachable and feel you could be a lot more successful. What I want to do is take on, I'm looking for five people that I can do personal coaching with.
Okay.
And nightly accountability, which was key. So it was basically every night I would leave a message for Chris and he'd, in the morning, he'd have a response through voice text.
Okay.
Accountability was huge.
Sure.
And it held my feet to the fire.
Right, right.
And so I'm thinking, okay, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And so I upgraded to one of the higher levels. And what that also brought was more involvement with a community of people that were making all the deals, getting all the deals.
Sure. Gotcha.
And it was called the high six level.
Okay. So, and they have, is there also training, like, in other words, classes in this, like coursework as well as part of this?
Yes. All the way from the, when you first start, that's where the coursework is.
Gotcha. The reason I ask that is, so I'm in mortgage note investing and we have a mentorship program that's very one-on-one and it's tailored to the individual's needs. But we don't have currently a true community. We don't have courses. I recommend certain courses to my mentees. I recommend certain groups for people to join in the mortgage note investing space if they've determined this is the niche they want to pursue, because every real estate niche has pros and cons for sure. But, you know, I think these can work synergistically, whether they're kind of under one roof, as they seem to be in your case, or not. They all provide different benefits. And, but I think ultimately, if you want to really put, you know, the pedal down and make some significant progress, one-on-one coaching or one-on-one mentorship is truly the way to go. But you're absolutely right. The accountability piece is critical. It's hard to, I mean, that's, you can learn everything you want. I just spoke with someone today who, I won't throw him under the bus, but, he's been interested in my mentorship program for 4.5 years. So maybe you could say that's a poor job by me in converting a sale. But, you know, it's like there's no accountability piece to get him going. And you know, if you were to join the program, there would be. But if you're left out on your own, oftentimes, even if you have the information, you may not take action or follow up or continue to progress without that accountability piece. So Give us some numbers. We're gonna keep dive in further, but give us some numbers as to your personal success and how what success you experienced, largely from this coaching program, but also through your own actions for sure, on the investment side.
Well, I'll go into those numbers. Just to give you an idea, and I mentioned the months I went without a deal. Through the coaching, they had encouraged me to get mindset coaching, which was made available to me for a mindset
Sweet.
coach,
That's
which
that was outside of the program.
it was more or less affiliated with the program, but it was external, yes.
Interesting.
And I know all the Wicked Smart coaches had been through this my specific mindset coaching. I said, I'm going to do what they did. And I did that for a number of months. That's really what kept me going.
So
And
what were one or two of the things that you learned that you could share with the listener in the mindset
so
coaching?
is reframing your beliefs. It's recognizing where you have a challenge or your mindset isn't right, and reframing that to be more of a positive mindset, and then repeating that.
Can you give
And
us an
then,
example in your case where you had a limiting or negative belief and you changed it?
yes, one of them was, I'm an engineer. I by trade, yes, I was up through management, but I was not somebody who, number one, making cold calls was a huge challenge for me.
Little bit outside your comfort zone.
It was way out of my comfort zone. And having the confidence, and that's really what it boiled down to, is having the confidence.
Yeah, and generally we're putting all engineers in one bucket here, which really isn't fair, but generally suffer from paralysis by analysis. I feel more comfortable working with a spreadsheet here and running the numbers and looking at the risk and understanding why I shouldn't move forward with this deal, as opposed to networking, building out, the human network of things and my Rolodex and making a deal happen, which obviously you need both, right? To be successful. So you were able to reframe. It sounds like you were able to reframe that mindset and gain more confidence based on that mindset coaching. And then how were you able to actually implement that?
So I did one thing, and I took this advice from the coaches. We have what we call the Wicked Smart Academy. It's got a bunch of courseware in there, and one of them was live seller calls, which is the coaches making calls to sellers and listening to it just over and over again. So when the seller would say something, I knew exactly the response that was going
The coach was
to
going
that
to say.
Chris or one of the coaches would give. And once I upgraded to this high six level, within I believe it was about 3 months, I popped my first deal.
Okay, what did that look like for
And
you?
well, we have what we call the three payday system, which, if you want, I can kind of highlight what that is. But payday one is basically the upfront, the first payday, which is the down payment that we get from a buyer, because we're turning it around, doing a lease to own or a rent to own. That payday one on that deal alone was $90,000.
For you.
And I sat in my car and I stared at the check and I said, I really should take a picture of this check.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. That was payday one of three on your first deal, right? Just to make sure.
On my first deal.
Okay, and that was how long had you not had a deal?
15 months.
15 months. Like you said, most people would have quit because it's your time and your money. You were paying for a coaching program and upgrading your levels and not seeing success. I mean, that you could point to.
From everybody else, but not myself.
Not in your bank account. So,
And
go ahead.
So now, over that 15 months, there was a lot going on that I did not realize. I
Okay.
was building. I was building a pipeline. The first appointment that I went on with a seller, which one of the coaches went on that appointment with me, and
Okay.
that's how
Wow.
entrenched as we are.
Right.
That I did 20, I believe it was 23 follow-ups with the seller over 14 months. And then he called me out of the blue and he said, "Rick, I'm ready to pull the trigger."
Wow. Yeah, talk
And
about
that,
most people would have given up. That's a key example there. Okay.
So
Yeah, so okay. And then after your first deal, kind of we'll speed up here a little bit. How many deals did you do, or how much money did you make as an investor, not as a coach, in the last since that first deal?
as an investor, I had when I was getting ready to leave my W-2, I had four deals. Each of them were six-figure deals.
Wow.
And I didn't do any repairs. They were all nothing down, nothing out of my pocket
Nothing out
other
of your,
than
no money out of
closing,
your pocket.
right, just closing costs.
So
So
what's
they
the average amount of a closing cost for a deal like that?
They, most of these have been anywhere from 3 to 5,000.
Okay, so you in four deals, put down $15,000 for closing costs, or and made $400,000 plus, right? Wow.
The best part about that, somebody says, "Well, you're making a fortune on these properties. So it's not really fair." Well, in each case, the seller got full asking price. A buyer who would not have been otherwise able to buy a home was given the opportunity to buy a home,
Right.
very fair price.
Sure.
So it was a three-way win.
I mean, you're solving problems, and there you can't control whether the buyer, follows through over the term of the lease, but you're listening and solving problems for people, and profiting. And you weren't profiting for quite some time as you're putting this work in and learning and growing. So, walk us through kind of switching over from your W-2 to becoming a coach.
So, as I had four deals under my belt, Chris said, "Rick, you want to think about coaching?" And I said, "Chris, I can't coach and have a W-2." And he said, "Exactly."
He sounds like he's usually one step ahead, you know.
Oh, he's definitely one step ahead, and he knows when you need to grow, what to do to do that. But so I looked and I said, "Well, I got a year's worth of savings, get me through should anything happen. I have four deals on my belt, so obviously it's not a question of whether I could do deals." At that point, I did all the planning to leave my W-2 with, medical insurance and all that kind of stuff, and laid a plan out that within 3 months I could leave my W-2. I did it in advance of the 3 months, and I left my job, my W-2, ex 2 days short of 2 years since joining the Wicked Smart community.
Wow. So within 2 years of joining the community, you left your W-2, right?
Right.
And
Yep.
how did it feel to leave your W-2?
Amazing.
For
It
those
was.
not watching on YouTube, there's a big, Rick has a big, big smile right now.
Chris would always give me a hard time. He'd say, like the $90,000 payday. I had somewhat of a smile on my face, and Chris was like, "Get a little bit excited about
Right,
it."
well, leaving your W-2s,
So,
yeah.
yes, and then what I did is I went into training as to be a certified coach
Okay.
with Chris.
Is that their own internal certification? Okay. And what year was this that you left your W-2?
It was May of last year.
Okay, wow. of
May of, yeah, this is January. No, it was May of the previous year.
23, 2023. I actually
23.
was just having to figure out when I left my W-2, and I couldn't remember if it was, and it was 2022 actually, and it was right around April. Yeah, that felt great for me as well. That's a story I'll save for another day. I think I've shared it on other podcasts, but yeah, I haven't looked back. Okay, now talk to us briefly about how coaching, not so much the coaching programs, but just for you specifically, your experience with coaching. How many people do you coach? How much time are you working these days? Do you have time freedom? What does it look like for you as a coach now?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, of course, when I became a certified coach and I actually was coaching on my own with my own assigned students or investors, the growth was hum just amazing.
For you, your personal growth.
My personal growth and as far as skill set goes, obviously, if you're teaching something, you
Yeah, you
become
better know it.
stronger.
Right. Yeah, I get pushed all the time in my mentorship program. There are always things I don't know, right? I mean, there's always going to be that, and so you're never going to know it all. And things change too. Market conditions change, vendors change. We work with a lot of foreclosure attorneys, bankruptcy attorneys. Some may be good now, and then they're not going to be good in 6 months, or they go out of business. And so, just because I may have known it back 6 months ago, doesn't mean I know it now. So, I'm constantly being pushed and asked new questions. Example, originating loans hasn't been my wheelhouse. We buy debt, we buy distressed debt, we buy performing loans. Second liens, not necessarily. I've bought some land notes, I've bought some, but I'm not an expert in that space. Property evaluating, providing a value on a parcel of land, that's not something I'm an expert in. So I'm just giving examples. There's always room for growth. And so, absolutely, as a mentor or as a coach, you're constantly being pushed and challenged. And there's no better way to learn than to teach it, and help others learn it. And then just speak more about what it looks like today as a coach.
So the other thing, I get a tremendous amount of satisfaction in helping somebody, especially when they're new, coming in and being where I was when I first started, helping them get their first deal. And helping
Absolutely.
them get additional deals. We can tell, I mentioned nightly accountability. Those who are truly serious do nightly accountability with me or one of the other coaches. And so I can hear in their voice when they're going through challenges. And a lot of times, like Chris, for example, he may have somebody that leaves a message for him and he can pick up their struggling mindset wise. And he'll send a message to the other coaches, please reach out to this person and help them through their mindset challenge. And we do
Interesting.
that.
That's really good. And we've danced around this major topic, but your why, your initial why was to have a retirement plan or some kind of, way to leave your W-2 and have security in your post W-2 life. But your why has changed. Talk about
Well,
that.
it goes back to limited beliefs and knowing what is really, when you scale your business, what it can really turn into. And I've had some mind-blowing moments when I project out a few years. We're talking in the millions of dollars of revenue within a year.
You're saying from as an investor?
As an investor, because I'm also investing. As I'm coaching, yes, but when I'm not coaching, I'm investing myself. So when I first started with the community and I was coaching, they said, Rick, what is your why? And I said, well, to leave my W-2 and have a retirement. And they said, why? Well, so I don't have to commute. and I don't have to have a job that's at risk. And they said, why? What do you mean, why?
Right, I already answered that question. Right.
So it's like it's defining what your perfect day or perfect life would look like,
Okay.
and without putting any limits on it.
Now, do you write that down?
Absolutely. In fact, I have two 28-inch monitors, and I've got a trip to Italy, I've got a trip to Ireland, I've got a lake home. It's all right
Nice.
in front of me all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're focusing the show now on helping both passive and active real estate investors operate in a state of mental fitness and make an inspired and informed decision about which real estate niche to pursue. And I think in your case, the pillar, we have several pillars that we want to focus on my podcast going forward. And I think in your case, what mindset shift must you make to reach a state of mental fitness and take decisive action in real estate? That one just seems to stand out for this episode. And it's, you know, you've talked a lot about limiting beliefs and defining your why. So back to, you know, you were answering the question about your why. Sounds like you had some limiting beliefs on your why, and then your why exploded. What is your why now, Rick?
So my why is to be able to travel when I want, where I want, and forever how long I want.
Love that.
You know, yes, and also to be able to run my business without being in the business. Yes, I love what I do, but if I want to take a month in Europe, I want to be able to do that, but still have my business run while I'm away.
That's great. And you did also already speak about the satisfaction you get in helping others. So I think that's part B of your why, maybe. But no, I love that. I mean, it's you're just thinking way bigger than you were 5 years ago, right?
No comparison. No comparison.
All right, we're pressed for time a little bit here. I've got some rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Sure. Go for it.
All right. What is one thing that people misunderstand about you, Rick?
People misunderstand about me.
This one trips
I
people up sometimes.
think I think probably I truly enjoy helping people. I know until people get to understand, they think it's about the money. And yeah, money is it's a vehicle.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Got it. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self some advice, what would that be?
Get into real estate and do it the right way. And be very coachable and surround yourself with, you know, back when I was that age, it was all about sports or going out partying, you know, or going to school. So.
And to be clear, you or I probably wouldn't listen, our 18-year-old selves wouldn't listen to us now anyway, but if you could have coffee with any historical figure, whom would you choose?
Historical figure?
They could still be alive today, really anyone who has lived.
I would say probably Peter Taunton.
Okay.
Peter Taunton is was the founder of one of the largest fitness franchises in the world.
Okay.
And Chris, in fact, he coaches Chris.
Is that right?
And he's a very, very successful entrepreneur.
Interesting. That's the first time we've had
And
that answer.
he's just, I have talked to him one on one before, and he's just very down to earth.
Nice.
You would not know he has the money he does.
So speaking of money, if you were given $10 million tomorrow, Rick, what would you do with it?
I would donate. Be more, like St. Jude, Tunnel for Towers, organizations like that. And I would probably travel more and see the world.
Love that. What is one book or two books, one or two books you could recommend for our listener?
One of the books would be, it's Developing Your Why. Geez, I'm trying to think.
Start with why,
Start
or
with why.
I actually just saw that on my bookshelf yesterday, so that's the only reason it popped into my head. Simon Sinek, is that it? Start with why.
I think that's a real key one. And of course, it's, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's a basic one.
Yeah, absolutely. What's a challenge that you're facing in your business or your investing career right now, either as a coach or as an investor?
I can't really say that I have a challenge. Although one of the things that I learned is this one deal that was my first appointment that took 14 months. On my nightly accountability with Chris, I said, "Chris, I keep following up with this guy. But he keeps ghosting me." Well, it turned out the guy was going through physical some health challenges. But he told me, he said, "Rick, your why is not his, your timeline is not his timeline." And so even today, I'll work with the seller and the seller won't get back to me for weeks. And it's having patience and understand it's not necessarily they are interested. It's
They
you
are
may
not
have
interested.
what's going on.
No often means not right now. And we so easily think it's about you, it's about me. I must be saying the wrong thing, or he doesn't like me, or whatever it is, but they may not even just have time to think about you, and they have so much else going on. You don't know what they're going through. So just be persistent and available so that when the time is right, you are there to help them with their problem and a solution for their problem. I love that. How has financial abundance made your life better? It sounds like you get to travel some and you work less.
Yes, and I get to work doing what I want to do, not what I have to do. So it's really financial freedom. I don't worry so much about money anymore because I know if the deals manifest themselves, and that was really a mindset shift for me.
Oh, that's great. So the coaching program, sorry, the coaching industry, especially in real estate, can be full of, I'll say, charlatans and shady people. And, it doesn't, coaching, the coaching industry ha t doesn't have the best reputation overall. Real estate investing tends to have a low barrier to entry as well. And so it's not super regulated, either the coaching side or the investing side. What are some of the controversial things, or at least one controversial thing that you see in the real estate coaching industry, and how do we avoid that as an investor?
Well, I know one thing that I run into quite frequently when I'm talking to sellers, they'll say, "Oh, you're like the fourth or fifth person," or actually, I want to say, "You're like the 12th person that's called me regarding what you do." And my first question to them is, "Are those people accredited?" Because we are, and the Creative Finance and Real Estate Association. So it means this is all we do, and we know what we're doing, and we have the ability to do it. And I remember sitting down with a seller and I had talked to him about a deal and he says, "Well, I got another offer from somebody, but it seems quite a bit higher than yours." And I looked at the numbers and I thought, first off, he's offering you much more than your asking price. He's offering you much more monthly than he can get on the rental market, way above market rent. And it
Couple of
was
red
for
flags.
It was over within a 2-year period to be completely cashed out. And I said, most of these people take their money and run because they're getting their money up front.
Gotcha.
I do see that.
So,
There's also,
as a real estate investor listening to this show, how do we avoid dealing with people like that?
well, it's to be honest, it's most important to do everything with integrity. And as long as you present yourself, you're completely transparent with integrity, people can pick that up. So that's huge.
So essentially you're saying worry about yourself and your own integrity, and also you mentioned earlier associating yourself with qu high quality people. So that does work hand in hand. What else? What's something that I have not asked you that you wish I had?
I think you pretty much covered it. I'd say, and we've kind of touched on this, the importance of mindset, because that was the thing that totally turned everything around for me. And it's getting yourself involved with like-minded people, with a community, and define your why, as we've talked about. And being getting clarity on
That's
what you
huge,
want.
for sure. No, those are all really key points. Last question, I think. Where do you the coaches in your group? No one has a crystal ball, but in the real estate industry, how are things changing? How they changed maybe over the last 12 months versus the next 12 months in 2025?
Well, in our niche, and because of the number, how long Chris and we've been doing this, we are able to adjust to just about any market. So in 2009 time, 2008, 2009, you remember what happened then.
Absolutely.
As Chris probably alluded to, he lost everything.
Yes, he did. We talked all about it. It was a huge crash, and then he felt a lot of that pain personally, for sure.
So, I love the niche that we're in. And every deal that we do, there's very few deals that are identical. And it's creative financing. And there's always a way to structure it to meet the seller's needs and to help buyers at the same time.
I'm reminded of I've interviewed Dave Van Horn on my show. He's essentially retired now, I think, but a mortgage note investor and real estate investor with wore many different hats over the years in the Philadelphia area. And he just would talk about, I don't care what the government policies are. I don't care what the market conditions are. Tell me what the rules are and I'll figure out a way to win. Now, part of that is just from having done it for so long that he's developed expertise in so many, he's got a lot of tools in his tool belt. So the newbie can't necessarily say that. And that's why they need a coaching program and accountability. But with someone like Chris in your corner, who has been through the ups and downs in many different market cycles, I think that's just a great way to go. It's a freeing, liberating mindset because you don't need certain market conditions to make a profit. You can just be flexible and still do well no matter what happens.
Exactly.
All right, Rick Abbiati, thank you so much for your time. This has been, like I said, it's a very practical episode, and I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this. Real estate is a fantastic industry as an investor. I mean, it's where I live as well, and I wouldn't if I didn't love it. So, I think just there's so many nuggets. I'm not going to go over all of them here. You did a great job a couple of minutes ago of summarizing the key points that we went over. Any final thoughts, Rick?
Yeah, we've got a free book that your listeners can get. And the link to that is Wicked Smart Books, WICKED smartbooks.com/JBateman.
Okay, perfect.
And also a three, what we call, I spoke about the three paydays. We have a
Yes.
3 days free master's class. And the link to that is smartrealestatecoach.com/Rick, RICK, master's class.
Perfect. All right. Any other ways that our listener can reach out to you personally?
Yep, they can do that through the master's class.
Got it.
And just request that. Yep.
Sounds great. Fantastic, Rick. Well, thank you so much. Like I said, thank you for your time and inspiration and sharing of knowledge. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jamie, and it's sure been a pleasure.
And to the listener, thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us, and that is your time. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversity2abundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
Hi, I'm Jamie Bateman, and I'm thrilled to offer you something special today: the power of mortgage note investing. This exclusive 5-chapter, 74-page ebook is packed with insights, strategies, actionable tips, and case studies to help you navigate the world of mortgage note investing with confidence. Whether you're just starting out or you're looking to refine your expertise, this ebook will be your go-to guide for building wealth and achieving financial freedom. The best part? It's completely free. Sign up now to claim your copy and take the first step toward mastering mortgage note investing. Don't miss this chance to gain the knowledge and tools you need to succeed. Visit LabradorLending.com and start your journey today.